Welcome, investigator. Evil is on the rise. Crime is escalating. Our mission is to eliminate the crime by exposing evil, examine why it manifests, and highlight the brave souls that confront it every day. Join us as we work together to bring justice to every victim. Welcome to All Things Crime. Here's your host, Jared Bradley.
Hey, everybody. It's Jared. Welcome to another episode of All Things Crime. Appreciate you listening. Ask you to just smash that follow button and subscribe to the channel or to wherever you're listening to this, Spotify or wherever that is. Appreciate you following us. And we love our listeners and watchers on YouTube and Rumble. And you guys are just awesome. Can't tell you thanks enough for being a fan of the show. And we try to bring you good stuff every day. And man, it's just a pleasure to be here. So, hey, I wanted to just throw this out at you guys. I'm going to attach a radio interview that I did with a radio station in Ireland. And the reason that they called and they wanted to interview me is because as the president of MVAC Systems, we have a unique way of collecting DNA off of evidence. So hopefully you guys are familiar with the Crystal Bezlanowicz case. And basically, Crystal was murdered when she was a 17-year-old wayward teen. She was originally from Washington, but was her and her boyfriend were in the Salt Lake City area. And she was working as a prostitute. She was hooked on drugs, no thanks to her boyfriend, who was also kind of working as her pimp. And basically just, you know, it happens a lot, especially these younger, naive girls. They get hooked on drugs and they develop these addictions. And yeah, their supposed boyfriends or whatever end up mooching off of her. And, you know, a lot of these young girls, their greatest asset is themselves. And unfortunately, there's real winners out there that are willing to pay for that. So Crystal was murdered by some river rocks. And that's the primary connection. She was murdered in 1995, the very end of 1995, December, in Utah. And they found her body next to the Provo River in Utah. Well, her case went cold for 18 years. And it wasn't until they used the MVAC system, which it works just like a carpet cleaner. So it sprays that sterile solution down onto the surface and then vacuums up the DNA off of the rocks. And that's where the primary similarities lie between Crystal's case and this case of Sophia. And I apologize to all of you French speakers out there if I butcher this name. She's a French actress. She was, apologize. Her name was Sophie Tuscan Duplantier. And so I just want to read this, just kind of give you guys the history of what's going on here. So she was a 39-year-old French woman. She was a French actress, really famous in France, but she had a holiday home in Ireland. And it's at the very south part of Ireland in Cork County, kind of close to the ocean out there, way out on the west side. So I'm sure that she had just a beautiful view out there. Goline, I think Tormore, Goline, County Cork, Ireland is how it's listed. And she was murdered on the night of 23 December 1996. Now, a neighbor found her the next morning around 10 a.m., but because of its location of where her holiday home was, and this is just, like I said, this is the 23rd of December. So supposedly she was over there just vacationing for just like 3 or 4 days. She was by herself and was going to head back to France for Christmas. So this is on the 23rd. This is only 2 days before Christmas. So I don't know how many days she had been there, but regardless, that's when she was found. It was the 23rd of December in 1996. So neighbor finds her down at the end of her driveway the next morning, 10 a.m. Now the neighbor, she was bludgeoned so badly, especially around her face, that the neighbor could not formally identify her. So she was found. The only thing she had on, let's see, it says her body clad in nightwear and boots. So why she was down at the end of her driveway, I'm not sure anybody really knows, but her long john bottoms were caught on a barbed wire fence. Bloodstains were present on a gate, as well as nearby piece of slate and a concrete block. And, you know, that's just kind of what's, it's almost whitewashed. Basically, I've seen pictures, and I'll tell you, the amount of blood that was there, both on that slate, that rock that was used to bludgeon her and honestly just disfigure her. And then the killer, when he was done, I don't know, maybe the rock got so bloody that it got slippery, but he picked up a concrete block and continued to beat on her with it. So this is clearly one of those cases of just, it's not just murder. This is a passionate, and usually when that level of violence, and especially when the killer didn't just want to kill her, he wanted to like really punish her and disfigure her. And usually when that happens, it's because the person that is murdering the victim knows her well enough that, and is so enraged by whatever is happening. Well, so speculation is that her neighbor, a different neighbor than the one that found her, was making advances on her. And, you know, who knows, maybe she turned him down. But this guy's name was Ian Bailey, and he was a British journalist who lived close to Sophie. And yeah, so this guy, they felt that France at least felt that there was enough evidence that even without him being present, they actually convicted him of her murder and sentenced him to 25 years in prison. Now, Ireland, I don't know, you know, everything about the different judicial systems in Europe and the court systems there, but Ireland wouldn't extradite him to France to serve that sentence. So he was arrested numerous times and was never actually proven that he had done it there in Ireland. So it's kind of been hanging out there ever since 1996. Now, the interesting thing is this case has been kind of resurrected. There have been some really top-notch detectives that have been reassigned to Sophie's case. And there's a lot of interest, especially from the media over there. Now, we've kind of been in touch with the police there in Ireland, but nothing formal and nothing definitive yet. So, but the press have done their research on the MVAC. They know about, they keep bringing up the Crystal Bezlanowicz case. And because there's so many similarities between not only the time frame, you know, Crystal was killed almost exactly a year before Sophie was. And she was murdered with some granite rocks. Now, granite, I don't know how to compare, you know, the slate rocks over in Ireland versus the granite rocks that were here in Utah. But, you know, you're going to have a lot of similarities there. And the bottom line is the cracks and crevices where DNA might be hidden, the MVAC is clearly going to be the best bet as far as getting DNA off there. So that's kind of the background of where we're at. And they're re-looking at this case. And so who knows, maybe there's a chance that we can get over there with an MVAC and help these, help the police, the law enforcement, you know, the investigators over in Ireland, and be able to help them solve this case. We'd love at least a shot at it. So out of all the techniques, the methods, the technologies that could collect some touch DNA off of a cinder block and off of a rock, I definitely say the MVAC is going to be their best bet. So following here is going to be a radio. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you know, we're just going to switch to just audio only. But yeah, if you're listening to this on Spotify or some other platform as a podcast, then you'll definitely be able to hear my Irish counterpart over there. So great opportunity. And, you know, we travel the world to try to help law enforcement agencies anywhere we can, to especially to solve cold cases like this. And especially when it's kind of a last ditch effort, you know, I'm sure they've tried multiple times to swab those rocks and try to get DNA off of it using, or not just the rock, but also the cinder block, just like in the Crystal Bezlanowicz case. They had tried swabbing that multiple times and they couldn't collect enough to even a half a nanogram of DNA material. And in the Bezlanowicz case, the MVAC collected 21 nanograms, so 42 times what they actually needed in order to produce this, the profile that produced the killer of Crystal Bezlanowicz. And obviously, we hope and pray that if we ever do get a shot at using the MVAC on the evidence there, and including her clothing and everything else, we'd have to see what's actually probative, what's actually worth testing over there. I mean, if it's totally covered with victim blood, it's going to be magnitudes more difficult. But, you know, like I said, the MVAC is most likely Sophie's family's only shot at ever getting this case solved. So really a significant case. I know it's really famous over there in Ireland, obviously, because that's where the murder happened, but also in France, because she was so famous. She was basically a French actress. So yeah. All right. Following here is the radio interview that I had, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So again, please subscribe and make some comments down there. And if you know anything about this case that isn't covered in this podcast or in this episode, then let us know. We'd love to hear from you guys. All right, here we go.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Jared Bradley is a former soldier and scientist who's gained the nickname the DNA guy. He has pioneered a piece of equipment called MVAC. It's a system which extracts DNA, and he believes that it could help to solve the killing of Sophie Toscan-Duplantier. And he's out there waiting to be called in by the cold case reinvestigation team. He joins me now from Utah. Jared, tell me first, if you would please, what MVAC is and what it can do. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to you too. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to come on. The MVAC is essentially a sterile wet vacuum. So imagine like a carpet cleaner where it sprays a solution down onto a surface and then vacuums up whatever's there. So it doesn't have brushes like a carpet cleaner would, but the combination of the spray and the vacuum creates a little mini hurricane down there at the surface, and that enables it to collect DNA that is down in the cracks and crevices of a surface that, you know, swabbing and other methods just can't get to.
It might have been there for a very long time, so can the machine dislodge it so it can be removed? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. So if the amazing thing about DNA is, if the evidence is stored properly, then it can last for a long time. Like we've had cases that I think our record right now is 56 years old.
Wow.
So yeah, the DNA was trapped in the seam of a sleeve of a shirt, and yeah, 56 years old. You know, most evidence lockers are climate controlled, and so if it's in a relatively dry, cool place, then that DNA can last for a long time.
56 years ago, there was no DNA technology.
No. Yeah, it wasn't even a thought then. You know, DNA didn't really come onto the scene until really mid-90s, late 1990s. So, and I think it wasn't really starting to get sensitive until the 2000s. So, the case I want to say is 1967 or 66, something like that.
Wow. Well, and you know, if you manage to extract DNA from something like a shirt that's 50 something years old, will that evidence then be admissible in a modern day court? That's the fascinating question.
You know, I'm not familiar with the Ireland courts, but here in the U.S., absolutely. You know, it's again, the chain of custody is important. As long as it's been maintained by law enforcement, then sure. And I'm sure Ireland has the exact same thing.
So if there's something to work off, you can work with it. Your interest in this particular case, I'm sure I don't need to rehash the history with you. How did you come to hear of the Sophie Toscan-Duplantier case in the first place, Jared?
Well, I was actually contacted by a couple of different news agents, you know, or newspapers, and they kind of brought it to my attention. And, you know, of course, we have interest in any case that we can help solve anywhere in the world. You know, we've been all over the place, you know, South Africa and Singapore, you know, all, you name it. We've just about been there. And cases like this, typically the detectives have gone down every avenue they can possibly think of and explored wherever the evidence has taken them and wherever the story has taken them. You know, they've explored it to and just hit dead ends on the wherever they are. And, you know, DNA, with the way that it's advancing, especially as technology gets more and more sensitive, it's just reopened a lot of cases like this. And so the similarities between, you know, this particular case that we're talking about and some of the other ones, like Crystal Bizlanowicz, is a case here in the United States that was a cold case for almost 18 years.
Tell me a bit about that case, because I know you worked on it and it was a breakthrough. It was a similar case to Sophie.
Yeah. The not only in the time frame, but also the evidence and the murder weapon, especially because it was several granite rocks that the victim was beaten to death. She was like 17, wayward teen, and just having problems, you know, with prostitution and drugs and things. And one night she just kind of disappeared, and a farmer and his son found her the next day on the side of a river, kind of a riverbank in Utah. And she had been bludgeoned to death with two rocks in particular that were big enough that they could be held like a man could hold it with one hand, but small enough that, you know, they could do a lot of damage. So they had tried to swab several times, but, you know, swabbing, it's physics. The swab material just can't get into those little cracks and crevices where a lot of that DNA is going to be. But the MVAC, again, with the solution vacuum combination, is able to penetrate deeper and cause that DNA material, you know, that you, in this case is probably skin cells, to dislodge from the rock and then be collected. And so that's how they got the profile.
So you were able to, your machine was able to lift from the rock DNA of who had handled it on the night of the murder.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. And they had, just in DNA in general, with how sensitive things are now, you need about a half a nanogram. I think it's like one millionth of a gram to actually produce a profile. So the MVAC collected 21 nanograms, so 42 times more than what they needed to produce a good profile. So, yeah, there was plenty of DNA there, but the swabbing just, you know, it's not the swab's fault. It's just a physical device. It just physically can't get in there.
Now, you believe that the MVAC would help if you could use it on the evidence collected in Sophie's murder, correct?
Well, I think it's a good chance. I haven't been able to actually see the evidence. Typically, I don't like to say yes, it'll help until, you know, I've actually had a chance to examine the evidence or somebody else that is an MVAC expert. So, you know, the detectives ultimately need to make that decision. But in cases like this, where they've tried everything else, they've reached a point where if they don't do something, you know, different than what they've done in the past, then it's just going to stay a cold case. Well, that's the perfect example of a case where they've then turned to the MVAC. At least they have a shot.
Because it was a particularly brutal crime. The poor woman was bludgeoned to death. There's got to be DNA somewhere. I would have thought, as a layman anyway, Jared.
I would too. And just what I've read, the different stories, and apparently she was down at the end of her driveway, somewhere around there.
Down near the road, yeah. She lived in a house up on a hill, and she was found down by the road, yeah.
Well, if she's bludgeoned to death with, you know, a rock or a slab, and then whenever the killer got done with that, he picked up a cinder block, is that correct?
That's right.
And you know, beat on her some more, that that alone, that tells me a lot. Yeah. Just based on what I've seen in the past, whoever the killer was, the brutality of it alone tells me that this person knew the victim. At least that's my, you know, I'm not an investigator, but to me, and just an experience of seeing this in the past, this isn't just like a random happenstance like that.
It was a frenzied, vicious attack. There is a cold case investigation underway, as I'm sure you're aware. Are you formally or informally offering your services to the cold case team? And by the way, that cold case team includes someone who only recently helped to solve a 40-year-old murder case using trace DNA. So the expertise is also on the cold case team. Are you offering your services, Jared?
Well, of course, we're always interested in helping wherever we can. If the detectives determine that the MVAC would be of benefit to use on the evidence, then yeah, I'd love to help. If the detectives want to work with us, then we'd love to help.
I'm particularly fascinated by the nature of your technology. The time doesn't actually matter. A 57-year-old short, you had another 43-year-old murder. Was it in Texas?
Yeah, that one was just solved about a year ago. A little 12-year-old girl was kidnapped. She was swimming with her brothers, and then they had left a few minutes before her, and a guy, he was a serial killer, serial rapist, grabbed her, threw her in a truck, and then drove about 3 miles away to a field and raped and killed her. And they found her about 6 days later. She was wearing a T-shirt and a swimsuit. They had tried the more traditional methods of swabbing. And I talked to the CSI that did it, and she said she literally was like using her fingers to pry apart the fabric and trying to swab every last inch of that T-shirt. But it wasn't until she used the MVAC that she got the profile. So it just gets magnitudes more of whatever is on that surface than what a swab can. So when you're talking just minute amounts of DNA material, then in cases like that, it's just critical that you collect it.
Jared, your device sounds fascinating. The science behind it is amazing stuff. And if we could use it, or if it could be used to solve this horrific case in our community, I think a lot of people would be very grateful to you. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us. Your attention today brings us one step closer to exposing and eliminating the evil that brings crime to our communities. Hit subscribe and share this episode. Together, we will bring justice to every victim.